podcasts have seen as much change in MBA applications as I've probably seen in the preceding 15 years. Shrinking essays, fewer essays, more short answer questions, team-based discussion, and video essays. I believe that some of these developments reflect societal changes, the information glut and shorter attention spans. These changes are forcing all of us to be more concise or be ignored. And of course, increased access to more media and communications options, from Skype to smartphones to YouTube and FaceTime, have increased the options for admissions offices and the ways they can seek to go to get to know you. And also the many different ways that you as applicants present yourself to all kinds of people, peers, colleagues, future employers. Well, with that, I want to welcome you to Admission Straight Talk, the podcast for graduate school applicants. I'm Linda Abraham, the founder of Accepted and the host of this podcast. A little background on the video essay, a focus of today's segment. For the last several years, a few top business schools, notably UCLA and NYU Stern, had allowed a video option, but it was more of a prepared clip and it was optional. The video essay introduced during last year's application season by Rotman is a little different. It is now being used by Rotman, Yale, and Kellogg, or something similar to what Rotman introduced. And there are rumors that other schools are considering it too. I'm excited to have Nikki DeSilva, Director of Admissions at the University of Toronto's Rotman School, on this, the 27th episode of the show. I've invited Nikki to join us so that we can explore with her the video essay, since Rotman really pioneered this option in MBA admissions. And that way we can learn more, and we can also learn more about the Rotman School, the top MBA program in Canada. Nikki, thanks for joining me today. You've had more experience with this format than anyone else, so I can't think of anyone better to ask about it. And I really appreciate your taking the time to chat with me.
My pleasure, Linda. Thanks for having me.
You're very welcome. Can you please describe the essay, the video essay component in the Rotman application?
Sure. So the video essay component and the way that the technology actually works. So we require two written essays as part of our admissions process, and a third component is the video essay. What we require candidates to do is to submit two responses to two questions. The way that the technology works is quite different from a canned or prepared question and is really meant to simulate a virtual live conversation with someone from the admissions team. So what happens as a candidate works through the application process is they are then invited via email to visit the site of our video vendor where all of the questions stem from. What happens is they first create their profile, they have an opportunity to do a practice question that is not taped, get comfortable with the environment, get their technology set up right, make sure that the sound, the mic is working, and then the real process begins. So they click, yes, I'm ready to start. And in the questions, and what we've done this year is create two question banks, so all candidates receive a random question from Bank One, which really contains values-based questions, and then a random question from Bank Two, which contains questions that are more stories or experiential type questions.
Can you give us an example for me?
Sure. So an example of a values-based question might be something like, tell us who inspired you and why. Okay. And an experiential type question might be something like, talk about the best trip you've ever taken and why. Mm-hmm. All of our questions are, and I used a terminology when we rolled this out, you know, getting to know you or first date type questions. They are fairly personal in nature. They are not meant to be questions that someone would need to study or prepare for. They're really based on, you know, the story and experiences that one brings to the application process. Mm-hmm. So the video process begins. What happens is the candidate literally will see on their computer screen a video. I'm the one who filmed all the questions, so they'll see me asking a question from Rotman. I do provide a little bit of an introduction on the video components. They see the first question, and then a timer appears on their screen. all of our questions, we have a 45-second think time. If you are thinking about it and you're ready to go after 20 seconds, you just say begin now. You don't have to you know, wait and start agonizing about wanting to just start talking. And then all candidates have a minute and a half to respond. And the timer counts down, so you know you'll see on your screen if you're getting down to 20 seconds and 10 seconds, so there is a visual signal on the screen to wrap up. The webcam does automatically turn on and off within that 1.5 minute response time. And after the first question's done, same process happens for the second question.
Well, okay. How did you come to develop the video essay as a required component in the Rotman application?
Sure. So I suppose, like a lot of ideas, it was a bit of an intersection of opportunity, which was preparation and luck. I was relatively new at Rotman, and we were taking a big inventory and thinking critically about our admissions process and what each component of the process was trying to measure and if it was doing. It was doing a good job actually delivering on that. And the most obvious that we identified was our essays. We had a number of very long essays, and we weren't finding that they were very differentiated or really even felt like we were getting great personal stories. At the same time, I actually was approached by this startup company who was launching this technology, which came through a connection through a Rotman faculty member. And they literally said, hey, can we meet and talk to you? We've developed this video interview technology that's intended for corporate clients, but we think it might have some merit in the admissions process at a school like Rotman. So the idea came to us. I jumped on it and thought, this is exactly the kind of thing we would love to incorporate into the process. Luckily, we did work with that firm with a year exclusivity. I only wish we had asked for a little bit longer now.
I hope the idea that imitation is the most sincere form of flattery is some comfort.
It is. But it was one of those things that just sort of worked out. We were in the right headspace where we were already thinking about what we could do to innovate and improve and screen for different kinds of skills and competencies in our admissions process. And this opportunity just sort of came in front of us. And we were in the right frame of mind to say, hey, we might be able to apply that, not exactly as companies use it, but in a similar way. And the rest is history, I guess.
What were some of the skills and competencies that you were looking for? What were you trying to achieve in introducing this?
Yeah. So originally, when we looked at it, we thought it would do a few things for us as a school in trying to better understand our applicant pool. We were really feeling like there was this gap between the application as we saw on paper and when we actually physically met with a candidate for the interview, whether that was in person or via Skype, virtually, where we just weren't feeling like we were getting to know who they were as a person. We knew a lot about their accomplishments and their talents and their test scores, but we're really looking for that kind of fit and individuality and diversity and energy and passion that make someone want to be part of the Rotman community. And the opportunity to ask and screen in this video format with these kinds of questions that actually make you feel like you really are getting to know this applicant as a person, not just the confines of an MBA application, but genuine stories about who inspires them and why. And we thought it would be valuable to learn that earlier on in the process. We tended to get those stories, but it would be only after we had invited a candidate to interview, and we were really interested in that the personal part of the admissions process and how we could incorporate that earlier on.
And did you find that, I'm guessing, from just from the way things have developed, that you that you achieve those goals with the video essay?
We did absolutely find that, and I think we were I was actually surprised at, I suppose, the depth and insight that it was giving our admissions team and our admissions committee. So what we found was, by answering a question like "Who inspires you?", someone might talk about their upbringing by a single mother who not only took the time to get them to school and to soccer practice, but also taught them their native language on the weekend, and what that meant for their value system and their connection to their ethnic background, and these kind of stories that really give you some insight into the character of our applicants, mm-hmm. that we just weren't expecting from these getting to know you type questions. And in hindsight, of course, it sort of makes perfect sense. And it's been interesting what the, I suppose, natural inclination of how candidates answer these questions signals about the rest of their life and their history and their experiences.
Also probably just about their ability to think on their feet and to articulate a story or an idea or respond to a question. I mean, if there's one thing that we should all be able to talk about, it's ourselves.
Right, yes. And obviously that's a skill. And, as someone who's I put myself in the bucket of talent management, doing recruiting and admissions at an MBA program, but it reads so much about, interviews are, sure, they're part of a process, but in some ways this is like real work sampling. We know that candidates in an MBA program are going to have to contribute ideas live and on the spot in a way that's concise, as I think you sort of opened the segment talking about some of the relevant skills for MBA candidates in 2013. And the essay allows us to sort of see and transfer how they would answer a personal question and think about how they would do the same thing in an MBA classroom and maybe contribute in a case discussion or study team where they needed to present an idea in a concise way. So it's been helpful in making that sort of parallel connection for their skill set as well.
What made a particular video stand out in a positive way? When did somebody really nail it?
So my probably all-time favorite video from this first admission cycle with the video essay, and I won't disclose his personal details, but
okay.
It is a candidate, and we start orientation tomorrow, so I'll see him tomorrow morning. So he actually took the time, and I think, I hope everyone doesn't just do this because it's a great example of a video that worked well, but it was so genuine. So he took the time to actually create the background. He knew what I would see in the background of his camera. Created a screen that said, Rotman MBA candidate 2013 intake. We could see on the wall specific soccer jerseys. Uh-huh. That he had, reflecting, his country and obviously reflecting his passion for the game. And then he was just very genuine. He wasn't necessarily overly polished. Sure, there were some ums and ahs and pauses, but, he smiled. He was being genuine in how he answered the questions. And you could just see this real passion, this authentic version of a person. He was very comfortable, and it was quite clear he was just being very honest, and that he also really felt like he was a great fit at Rotman and had lots to share. So that was probably my favorite video, because it was so powerful in sharing all of those signals, and of course his actual responses to the questions were quite good as well.
And what made a video bomb? What were some of the mistakes?
Yeah, some of the things were, and we actually purposely did introduce it as a pilot last year. Mm-hmm. So by bombing, it was more of a learning moment for us to say we need to watch out for this in the future. But there were times when the choice of literally where candidates filmed the video, traveling, we saw one video someone filmed where they were clearly in motion, responding to the questions, which was just a little distracting, I'm sure, for their answers and for us trying to follow. And the others are less about content, because there isn't a right or wrong answer to these questions. They're personal. You're just talking about yourself, but more just a signal of how seriously candidates were taking the process. So we did have, you know, some people who were dressed like they had just come from the beach. And it was quite a contrast to the person that, you know, I put myself in their shoes and thought, you know, most of our applicants are literally, they're putting on a suit for 3 minutes to respond to these questions. But that simple act of putting on a suit for 3 minutes sends quite a powerful signal about how much they want to be part of the Rotman community and how seriously they're taking the process. So we saw a whole range of how candidates literally showed up to take these videos.
It says that they want you to view them as a professional and not as a beach boy or girl.
Exactly.
Right? So I know some people have expressed concern about the video essay in the sense that obviously we're all visual beings, and we all know that we do judge books by their cover. Do you feel that the video essay in some way disadvantages those? I'm not talking so much about the suit or the beach attire. I'm talking simply about somebody who may be less attractive or more attractive. I mean, I think there's a lot of evidence in hiring that, for example, the obese are at a disadvantage.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a very real concern, and the biggest mistake that we or any other school could make is to pretend like that bias doesn't potentially exist.
Mm-hmm.
So there were sort of two thoughts that we had before implementing this decision around it, and one was we are seeing these candidates in person at some point.
Mm-hmm.
Eventually, we do interview in person, whether that's physically or virtually. So the bias is always going to be there, and we need to be aware of it. So we weren't. I didn't feel like we were introducing anything new, but what we actually are able to do because of this technology that didn't exist before. So from my perspective, I actually think the bias is less of an issue than it ever was. Because what we now do is show these videos as part of our admissions committee discussion on candidates.
Mm-hmm.
And the video platform also allows reviewers of applications to share and get feedback from other members of the admissions committee.
Mm-hmm.
So we have multiple sets of eyes on every video submission, which I think just allows us to control for that sort of personal bias of,
mm-hmm.
you know, finding a certain communication style and appearance more charismatic than others. I think we've now built in multiple checks and balances by virtue of having a big committee screen the video responses.
Okay. And what tips would you have for an applicant? Obviously, your perspective is mostly Rotman, but they are, as we mentioned a minute ago, that I think you're being imitated, and it has been adapted by Yale and Kellogg, I think, for sure, and possibly by other schools. What advice would you have for the applicant who's going to respond to a video essay question?
It's a good question, and I think the biggest piece of advice from my perspective, because I've had lots of candid conversations with students who are starting with us this year to say, you know, now that you're in, what did you really think? and I think the biggest piece of advice is a lot of people, you know, really kind of worried about it, or thought, "Oh, you know, I have to do this extra thing, and it's different." And what I've tried to do as many times as I can is reframe it for candidates. So my advice would be just to reframe your thinking, and actually think of it as an opportunity. Before this was introduced, we would turn down, you know, hundreds of applicants that we didn't interview ever. They never got a chance to, you know, get in front of, even if it's virtually, in front of someone from the admissions committee and sort of demonstrate a little bit more about who they are. So my advice would be, think of it as an opportunity and use it as yet another reason why a school should invest in interviewing you and want to get to know more about you. And by doing that, thinking about it as more of an opportunity. I hope that the sort of secondary thing that happens is that candidates can actually relax and have a little bit of fun with it. Like I said, there's no right answer, particularly with the kinds of questions that we're asking. They really are, you know, very, very personal in nature, and the worst thing someone can do is be too nervous and actually not use that opportunity to just be themselves. And at the end of the day, I think most candidates should want to be admitted to a school based on who they are and just having that authentic fit and feeling Absolutely. Confident that the school wants them for the real version of themselves. And the video is a great data point for us to see a little glimpse into that.
Great. Does the video essay, or the adoption of the video essay first in particular, reflect the Rotman School's approach to MBA education? And if yes, how so?
Yeah, that's a good question, and actually was kind of a part of the motivating piece, not just wanting our process to be further improved, which, you know, specifically from an admissions perspective was one of the goals. But the other component of our process, we do think really carefully about trying to reflect the culture and values of Rotman from the moment someone interacts with the school or you know, visits us or attends an event, or for some it's starting an application. And we do have a real reputation as someone who, as an institution, is innovative, does like to make, you know, bold decisions, and I think the beauty of introducing this and introducing it first specifically is it did allow us to put a stake in another sort of innovation stake in the ground, and does signal to candidates that, you know, if you come to Rotman, we are going to be you know, thinking critically, thinking creatively about how we can do things not just differently, but we think better. And I think the video component reflects that culture and that philosophy pretty bang on.
Now, Rotman's Dean Martin is a big proponent of design thinking. Can you describe what that means and specifically how it is applied to the MBA?
Absolutely. So,
I'm sure you're asked this question all the time.
Yeah, and it certainly is a really significant reason for why some candidates choose to come to Rotman. And design thinking has, in some ways, is a frame or a model that falls under our broad banner of integrative thinking, which is, so really what design thinking is all about for candidates in an MBA program is allowing our students to use a model, and design thinking is essentially a model for problem solving, that is modeled around deep empathy for the end user, you know, understanding exactly what their experience is as in a particular product or service, and coming up with a very creative design-based approach to help better meet that need. So we really do believe that allows our students to approach decisions and think more creatively, think in a way that's innovative, and ultimately come up with better solutions to tough problems.
Well, I guess then with that definition, you can really see how the video essay fits in.
I think so, and that's, I think that's an important part of the process for each school to think about, is that the process should reflect the value system of the institution, and you know, we don't want to just change for the sake of change, but do something that's meaningful and better.
Right. I mentioned to you before we started that I gave a webinar this morning, and it happened to be on Stanford, and Stanford's motto is change lives, change organizations, change the world. And I was wondering, as I was preparing, why it's not improve lives, improve organizations, improve the world. But I don't think they're going to take my suggestion somehow.
Right.
I don't think they're too interested. How would you, like, one of the questions, and I know you and I have discussed this in the past. I was lucky enough to visit Rotman and visit Nikki in June and meet her personally. How would you apply, like, one of the questions applicants sometimes ask is, okay, you have this integrative approach to problem solving, and again, it's specifically known for design thinking. How would you apply it, let's say, to finance?
Yeah, it's interesting because it isn't easy, and in many ways that's also reflective of the kind of student that comes to Rotman, as someone who is willing to do the hard thinking and spend time on structuring their thinking. So I suppose the way that you know, one would apply something like the framework of design thinking to finance is probably to start by reframing, you know, how we model the experience and thinking mm-hmm. about finance from an institution's perspective versus thinking from an end user or a customer's perspective. And students, I guess, you know, one way to think of it from a student's perspective who's in our program is they may be, you know, looking at some sort of finance case where maybe there's a valuation decision, and they may look to traditional models of how would you actually value the firm, and, you know, maybe you get three or four different options of stock values. Mm-hmm. Someone who is applying design thinking would probably look at all of those models and say, well, what are the best components of each one of these models, and how can I then take those and come up with a different value or a different number that takes the best from each approach? So it does really require the discipline of structuring thinking and purposely stopping to make sure that you're framing the problem in the right way before immediately jumping to generating options and evaluating the best of the obvious alternatives, which I think that sort of bias for action can sometimes be a bit of an Achilles heel for certain for MBAs in certain situations.
Yeah.
That there is just this bias to act and solve problems, and sometimes they end up solving the wrong problem because they didn't spend enough time thinking about what was actually contributing to defining the problem.
Well, they don't explore enough different options.
Exactly, yes.
One of my favorite books is Essays That Stick by the Heath Brothers. And I understand they're coming out with a new book, or just came out with a new book, about making decisions and the need to consider.
I just read that on an airplane last week, actually.
Oh, you read the book?
And I read the book, I think it was Dan Heath was here at Rotman a few months back.
Oh, I haven't read. Is it good?
It's very good. It's very interesting. And it does a lot of that. And they do quote Roger Martin in the book at one point. So, but it's kind of exactly that. It does give you different framework to sort of slow down your bias for action and really think about framing your decisions from different perspectives.
Well, I'll have to get the book. I read Essays that Made to Stick, rather, I think is a fantastic book. I also read their book Switch on decision making, not the first book on decision making, which is more about kind of how the emotional and the rational interact within us to make
right.
decisions, and how much emotion is. I think the metaphor they use is a little person trying to control an elephant, with the little person being the rational and the elephant being the emotional.
That's interesting. And it's so fascinating to me, because I think decision making, for most people, they think of it as an outcome, not as a discipline. But it really should be. You know, it's something you can get better at and should be considered a discipline.
Yeah. Yeah, it certainly discipline will assist in decision making.
Right. Yeah. Very true.
So, all right. Any advice you would like to give? Any tips for applicants to Rotman?
Yeah, absolutely. I think as it relates specifically to the video or broadly.
Oh, I think you gave some tips for the video, but really both.
Yeah. So I guess the one that applies from the video and beyond is really just be comfortable in your own skin throughout the application process. I think, you know, it's very easy to feel like, you know, you have to present an image as a certain type of candidate. But I think the beauty of and what I love most about my role here at Rotman is we have a really large class. We are expecting 350 students at orientation tomorrow.
And congratulations.
It's great. And it means we have this huge range of talents and backgrounds, and we really do value that diversity and individuality. And because of the size of our program, I think that's just an added benefit that we really will look at candidates from a wide variety of backgrounds. So being comfortable being yourself and just being honest about, you know, who that is. And if you come from a non-traditional MBA background, knowing that there are schools like ours who are really quite interested in seeing your application, so don't rule yourself out just because you don't seem like a traditional MBA candidate. And just throughout the process, just conveying that authentic version of yourself, because being in a program for 20 months, it's a long time to try to convey anything other than who you really are.
Right.
So you want to be admitted based on your own talents and the merit of what you can present, more than some sort of version that you think the admissions committee is looking for. So that's probably my biggest piece of advice. The other is that we're really in an exciting phase for the school, and there's so much momentum and around the growth of the program, and we're trekking slowly up to 400 students. So my other piece of advice would be, your timing is pretty perfect. We're really actively looking for more amazing, talented students at the school.
And you have a stunning campus, stunning facility there. In
yes.
A beautiful location.
We are quite lucky, and would encourage anyone to come and visit. Absolutely.
I certainly enjoyed my visit,
Nikki. The pink staircase and all.
The pink staircase and all, right? And that part of the building from what was it, 1780 something?
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, a bit of a history
PhD house.
Yeah, right. Exactly. It was fun. It was fun, and only 2 hours from Niagara Falls, which was spectacular.
This is true.
Right. Nikki, thank you so much again for joining me here today and sharing your perspective on the video essay as well as Rotman. Where can applicants learn more about Rotman, more about the admissions process, the video essay, the whole thing?
Sure, absolutely. Probably the best step is to just go to the Rotman website, which is rotman.utoronto.ca/MBA. To learn more about the school and, of course, to get started on introducing yourself to the admissions team.
Great. We'll include a link in the show notes at info.exhibit.com/27. That's just the number 27. We'll include a link to the Rotman admissions site, the URL that Nikki just gave. I also have a blog post with my tips on preparing for a video essay. I don't think there's anything in what I said that would contradict what Nikki said. And if you're not yet, and again, we'll include a link to that at info.exhibit.com/27. Listeners, thank you, too, for joining us today for this episode. As always, please share your feedback on iTunes, the blog, or by emailing lynda@exhibit.com. And if you're not yet a subscriber to Admission Straight Talk, you can subscribe either through iTunes, Stitcher, or Zoom. This is Admission Straight Talk, produced by exhibit.com, and I am your host, Linda Abraham. I'll talk to you again in 2 weeks.
Our theme music is provided by podcastthemes.com.